Okay, as Simon promised, we're just now going to have a few brief reflections as we approach Christmas. I'll read a couple of short passages from Luke chapter 2. If you wanted to read along with me as I look at those passages, they're on page 1014 of the red Bibles at the end of each pew, or you can just listen as I read those short passages from Luke chapter 2. We like to be in control, don't we? That's true, I've discovered recently, even when it comes to Christmas presents. Now, it used to be the case, I think, that the person giving the gift decided what gift they were going to give. Amazing concept, that. I understand that was once the case. They made the decision about what gift they would give. At some point along the line, that has changed, at least in my extended family. Now it seems the person getting the gift describes in great detail what they want, even ordering it online and giving it to you, and or perhaps just give me a gift card. I don't trust you to buy me a present, I'll buy it myself. I know a family quite well, in fact, where one or two people are so precise about the gift they want at Christmas, they have no trouble expressing their profound disappointment if you don't get exactly what they wanted. We want to be in control even over the gifts we get. We also, on a larger scale, like to feel in control of our lives and our destiny. Many of us, because of the advantages of birth, of education, of prosperity, can, for a little while, live with the illusion that we're in control. But we know how easily that sense of control can come crumbling down. A loss of a job, a failed relationship, a deadly illness, and all of a sudden that illusion of control can disappear. At Christmas is the story of the one who was truly in control, seemingly giving up control. The one who was king of history. The one who acted with authority and was never acted upon. We remember at Christmas that one stepping into history, seemingly giving up control. God the Son willingly giving up being in control. Let me read some verses from the beginning of Luke chapter 2. This is from Luke's Gospel. These are the facts that an educated medical doctor carefully researched and wrote down within the lifetime of the people who saw these events. He spoke to people who were actually there, and as we would assume as we look at these opening chapters of Luke's Gospel, he spoke to Mary herself. We read in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Familiar verses if you've been here at Christmas or around church for a while, but I find these verses incredible. This is the account of the coming into the world of God himself. The one who had steered and orchestrated and controlled all of history, now seemingly at the mercy of history. His movements, his family, the circumstances of his birth, seemingly controlled by a distant Roman king. And yet despite every impression, he is still in control. The town that his parents travel to is the town that is the town of David, the great king of Israel, who was promised that from his line would come a king who would rule eternally. And now, unplanned, and unseen, this Caesar, by his decree, sends this family to the town of David, where the King of Kings would be born. The one who always ruled history steps into history and is seemingly controlled by history, and yet he's writing his own chapter of history, the most important chapter of all. We continue reading in Luke chapter 2. This is the bit that Hannah read so well earlier. Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out into the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Mary gives birth to a son. And we see Jesus wrapped by his presumably teenage mother in cloths, placed in a manger, an animal feeding trough, laid down by his parents to sleep. And the sign that the shepherds are going to look for to see that the great King and Saviour has been born is that you'll see a baby who's been wrapped in cloths, has been laid down in a manger by his parents. What an incredible sight, and what a beautiful picture. God allows himself to be wrapped, to be handled, to be carried by his parents, to be placed down, seemingly out of control. We're never more out of control, are we, than when we're babies. Human babies really are hopeless. They cannot really do anything for themselves. And yet here is the very God, creator of all things, wrapped up, carried around, placed down by his parents, totally dependent. This is the one who we read about in Colossians chapter 1. This Jesus, by him all things were created. Things in heaven and things in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created for him and by him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. This one who made all things is now wrapped and handled and placed and laid down in a manger. I think this part of the Christmas story should never grow old or tired for us. Of course, this is only part of the story of Jesus. There was another night when Jesus was carefully wrapped, placed, and laid down. And not wrapped in baby swaddling cloths, but wrapped in linen burial cloths. Not laid down in an animal's feeding trough, but laid down in a tomb. Placed there not by his mother and his father Joseph, but by another man called Joseph, a member of the Jewish religious council, who gave Jesus his tomb. Not worshipped there by angels, shepherds and travelling kings, but by a small group of women whose only goal was to honour his dead body by anointing it with oil and spices for burial. We read about that other day at the end of Luke's Gospel. Let me read a few verses from Luke 23. There's a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man. He'd not consented to their decision and action to kill Jesus. So going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloths, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. As he was as a baby, wrapped, he's now wrapped up again. Not placed in a manger to sleep, but a lifeless body placed in a tomb. What staggering condescension that the God who made and sustains all things, the God who made and sustains your life, the God who gives you life and breath this very instant, came and allowed himself to be acted upon at Christmas as a baby and at Easter as a man, looking like he had totally lost control. But God is perfectly in control. A few weeks after Jesus' death, Peter can stand up in front of a huge crowd and he says to them, "You plotted to put Jesus to death, but you only did what God had decided beforehand would happen." And on the third day, Jesus throws off those linen cloths that had wrapped his lifeless body. He's alive, resurrected. He rises up from where he'd been placed and laid in the tomb, and he neatly folds his grave clothes and walks out the door. So even when it looks like God is powerless as a baby or in a tomb, when it looks like God no longer has things under control, we know that he does. And that is as true in your life this year as it was on that first Christmas night. God might seem to be powerless and out of control, but he wasn't then, and he isn't now. He's come and allowed himself to be acted upon in history so that he might transform history. And he came to bring peace. That's what the herald angels were about to sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. That's what the herald angels came to say. This one has come to bring peace on earth. Not peace like we fight for in wars, but peace between us and God. By allowing himself to be wrapped up, to be placed, to be laid down, he's given us the greatest gift of all, life itself. The gift that brings forgiveness and hope, the gift that brings peace between us and God. And yet, like the person who insists on being in control of the gifts they get at Christmas, we can easily find ourselves dictating to God what he ought to give us. We say to God, "Give me this year and give me that next year." We want to be in control. But God is the one who gives the gifts. And the gift he has given is the Lord Jesus Christ. A gift that begins at Christmas and climaxes at Easter. But for us to benefit from that gift, we need to admit to God that we're not in control. And that Jesus is. We need to let go of the illusion that we hold on so tightly to, that we can master our own lives, that we can be in control of our own destiny. We need to recognize that God is in control, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus came, he was acted upon, wrapped and placed in a manger, wrapped and placed in a tomb, so that he might bring life and peace as he rises in victory. And through him, we experience the true peace that Jesus brings. Peace between us and God. Forgiveness, new life, and hope. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you that in Jesus, you bring new life. You bring hope. That as you were acted upon in history, you have redeemed history. You have saved out of history a people for yourself. We thank you that you did come and that you do save. And we pray this in the name of the glorious and living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.